Michael Smirkanis is online and on demand. Wake up with Michael Smirkanis, mornings 5 to 9 on the Big Talker 1210 WPHT.
Gary Francione is in studio with me. He was my torts professor in my first year of law school at Penn. And you just told me that was your first year as a professor?
That's right, Michael. We're getting old.
We are getting old. He is now a distinguished professor of law. How distinguished are you?
Extremely.
At the Rutgers University School of Law in Newark. He's the guy who wrote the piece that I quoted from yesterday titled, "We're All Michael Vick." How come?
That's right. Because, well, let's think about how we're thinking about the Michael Vick situation. I mean, people are upset about it and they're saying this is really terrible. He inflicted unnecessary suffering and death on these animals. We all agree that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering and death on animals. And if that notion has any content whatsoever, it's got to mean that we can't inflict suffering and death on animals for reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience. The problem is 99.55555% or 99% of our use of animals in this society can't be justified by anything more than pleasure, amusement, or convenience, with the most obvious example being our eating of animals. That we kill over 10 billion animals in this country every year for food. Now, that's not necessary to do in any way. First of all, it's not necessary for human health. Indeed, increasingly, mainstream healthcare professionals are maintaining that it's not good for us to eat meat and animal products.
What do you eat?
I'm a vegan. I've been a vegan for 20
years. Like, what are you going to have for dinner tonight, if you know? And make it up, if not. Like, what kind of chow goes
I'll
on?
I'll make some sort of maybe a vegetable soup. I'll have a salad. The vegetable soup will have vegetables. It will have beans. It will probably have some tofu in it and things like that. Maybe some lentils. But I've been a vegan for years now, for 25 years.
There was a line that you wrote in your opinion piece, which is really well done. You said, "There's something bizarre about Reebok and Nike, which use leather in their shoes, suspending products endorsed by Vick. They're not going to allow a guy who allegedly tortures dogs to endorse products that contain tortured cows." Isn't there some level of difference between, you know, him making two animals go at it and tear each other limb from limb and Nike and Reebok?
No, not any moral difference. I mean, Michael, the way we raise and kill animals in this country involves what could only be described, and indeed all over the world. You cannot, you can't feed a planet. You can't have animal agriculture without a lot of pain, suffering, and what would constitute torture. You simply can't. The fact that we're not doing it ourselves, we're paying somebody else to do it, is, in my judgment, morally insignificant.
I mean, the bottom line is that a guy like me, who has three dogs at home and says, you know, that son of a bitch, Michael Vick, we should fry him, yada, 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 and then goes and eats a steak at Chops or the Palm, I'm a hypocrite.
Look, I like you. You're a former student. I don't want to call you names on the air. It's your show.
But it's hypocrisy.
I think it is, yes. I think it's what I call moral schizophrenia in my book, Introduction to Animal
Because
Rights.
We're all Michael Vick.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can't really, I mean, whether it's eating meat, whether it's rodeos, I mean, an enormous amount of suffering is inflicted on animals in rodeos, yet that's a completely legal activity. Hunting, bow hunting, for example, where a huge portion of the animals are wounded and die excruciating deaths. They're not killed. They run off. They die excruciating deaths. They are tortured to death, basically. And this is sport. This is considered legal. Indeed, it's considered to be a custom and a tradition.
Let me go to some of my right-wing talking points.
Okay.
It says here I'm supposed to ask you about fish. Do you draw the line?
I mean, I'm a vegan. I don't eat any animal products. I don't eat any dairy. I don't eat any.
All right, but my dad's out there. He's a big fly fisherman. He's listening to us right now.
Right.
Do you have a beef with him fly fishing?
Well, I wouldn't say I have a beef with him. I would say that that the evidence is absolutely conclusive that fish are sentient. They feel pain.
They feel pain.
And indeed,
that's the issue.
Yeah, I mean, they feel pain. And what right do we have to inflict pain, suffering, and death on another sentient being for reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience?
I mean, here's my second one from the GOP talking points.
Yes,
The culling of the herd, relative to deer, in the Philadelphia area. I mean, you got all these communities out there that have given free rein to snipers to go out because they say too many deer and they're a road hazard. How does Gary Francione look at an issue like that? By the way, I mentioned you in the context of being a torts professor, but it's obvious now to the audience, animal rights is your bailiwick, and you've got a book coming out in the fall, correct?
Yeah, Animals as Persons by Columbia University Press. Yeah, yeah.
Animals as Persons or Animals as People?
No, Animals as Persons.
Are you sure about that?
Well,
I'm pulling your chain, yes, Gary. Don't take the bait. What about the deer?
I would say in that situation, I mean, when you're talking about these alleged overpopulations in populated areas, in suburbs, I think what we need to be doing is contraception and other non-lethal methods of dealing
sponge
with
sponge or condom.
Right. But I, you know, contraception works. I mean, you know, contraception works. It is a completely viable solution to the problem, but people don't want to use it because it threatens the whole hunting situation and which is considered tradition and custom, but yet involves torture and is indistinguishable from what Michael Vick is doing.
All right, I need help with Gary Francione. I got Professor Francione in the studio. I need help insofar as I don't know what the appropriate response is to him when he says to me, you profess your love of your dogs, and yet you're flipping burgers on the weekend,
There is no difference between the dogs, your dogs that you love, and the animals you're sticking forks into, Michael. There is absolutely no difference. Cows, pigs, chickens, they're sentient. They have emotions. They are no different from your dogs. And yet you're killing them for no reason.
All right, let me call upon my friend Joe Vento.
From Philadelphia, 215-839-1210. From the suburbs, 610-664-1210. From South Jersey, 856-541-1210. AT&T customers, formerly Circular, push pound 1210. Verizon Wireless, push pound 1210.
All right, let's go to Tony. He's in East Greenville, now on the Big Talker 1210 with Professor Francione. Hey, how are you, Tony?
I'm very well, thank you. I just have a question for Professor Francione, and then I also have a comment. I'd like to know what he does when there's flies in his house. Does he swat them? Does he try to capture them and then take them outside? And my comment is, I'm driving into, I work in Collegeville, and I'm driving through Montgomery County through a lot of beautiful farmland, and I see a lot of cows and sheep and goats whose ultimate fate is likely a quick death, but all their lives they're just grazing. They're not suffering.
Well, actually, Tony, you've made a couple of comments. Let me start with the insect comment. I don't know whether insects are sentient. I don't know whether they feel pain. I err in favor of not killing them. So yeah, when I find a spider in my house or something like that. When I lived in New Orleans, when I first got out of law school and my first job was clerking for a judge, federal judge in New Orleans, and we had cockroaches all over the place that were like 12 inches long. You catch them and you put them outside.
All right, wait. I think I've got the key question then for you.
All right, go ahead.
You're a big dog guy.
Yeah.
The dogs that Gary Francione has are dogs that you've taken in that have been tortured and violated and are in need of a home.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, they're death row dogs, basically.
All right. When one of Gary Francione's death row dogs has a tick on it, what do you do with the tick?
You
burn it?
No, I don't burn the tick. I take it off with a tick spoon.
Yeah.
And if the tick is alive, I put it outside.
So you can get back on the dog.
Well, you know, I don't like to kill things.
You wouldn't even burn a tick?
No. I mean, look, Michael.
You're consistent. I respect that. I don't.
But again, I don't know.
I like consistency.
I don't know whether ticks are sentient. But the one thing we do know is the cows, the pigs, the chickens, the fish we're eating.
Okay.
They're all sentient.
But Gary, if you're tying this totally to the experience of pain.
Yes.
Then if there's a method out there where they feel no pain, death is instantaneous, then it would be cool with you.
Well, no. That raises a separate question. That raises a completely separate question as to whether or not animals have an interest in continuing to live. I believe they do, and I don't think we have a right to bring them into existence and kill them, even if we raise them and kill them painlessly. But that's hypothetical, because what we're doing is torturing them, and we simply can't avoid doing that when we're killing 10 billion animals. There's no other way to deal with them except to torture them. And go ahead.
Paul's a butcher. Can we welcome him?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Paul, how are you? Welcome to the program. Say hello to Professor Francione.
Good morning, Professor. Good morning, Michael.
Hi.
Hey, Paul.
Listen, I just want to say, it goes back to the Bible when they sacrificed the lamb. God put those animals on earth to eat, the lamb, the cows, the pigs, the dog. You never see the dogs. You never hear of any biblical days of them eating dogs or cats. But we hear about it in some countries.
Well, you're just not familiar with the story of Jesus and his dog, Spot. But no.
Listen, there are a lot of calls on the board of people who say there's a religious, you know.
Okay, look, I'm not a religious guy, so I'm not. But let me remind you, Paul. If you look at Genesis, you'll see the creation story. In the beginning, God creates the world, gives it to humans, and gives humans the herb and the plants to eat, basically. So there is no killing in the Garden of Eden. There is no death in the Garden of Eden. Killing only occurs once the covenant is breached. Humankind is driven.
I love this
from,
man. See, you've heard it all. But he's good, Paul. He's heard it all before.
By the way, wait a minute.
Hold it. One thing.
I got one thing to tell
you. Go ahead. You go.
I know some Sunday somewhere in your family, you're getting into that pot of gravy somewhere. I know you're sneaking a meatball. Come on.
Nah, come on. No, absolutely
hey,
not.
By the way, you'd agree with me. The ark, it was exclusionary. I mean, Noah, he limited who was getting on the ark.
He had a true emergency situation where he had to make. Look, you know, I mean, if you're in a city, people always say to me, "What would you do? What would you do if you were on a desert island and you know you were going to perish? There was no plant material to eat, and you were going to die if you didn't eat an animal." And I always say to them, "Look, if you know you and I were on a desert island, and I was going to die if I didn't eat you know somebody, and there was no animal, there was no non-human to eat, I'd eat you." So you know, in the true emergency situation. We have to, you know, we are compelled to make these choices.
Put a label on yourself: conservative, liberal, libertarian. I mean, how do you know? I'm curious as to what makes you tick.
Somebody who likes peace and has a violent opposition to violence.
That's how you'd sum it up.
As a matter of fact, I view my veganism as a commitment to nonviolence. I mean, I just don't see the purpose in engaging in killing. Self-defense is one thing. And we can have a discussion about that. But when one is simply killing for reasons of pleasure, amusement, or convenience, I think that's bad.
Right.
I think that's morally unjustifiable. And I think a lot of the world's violence of human against human has to do with the fact that we don't think at all and we accept the enormous amount of violence that we inflict on non-humans.
If bin Laden is in the crosshairs, it's okay to pull that trigger.
That's a completely different
Just
question.
Yes or no question, Gar? See, I like it when I can call on you, you know? I used to sit there terrified that you were going to call on me. No, I'm calling on you now.
You were a very quiet student, actually.
Scared to death.
Yeah,
what are you kidding me?
You were a very quiet guy.
Can we take the shot at bin Laden or not?
I don't like violence and I don't like killing, but I think that one could make an argument that would be morally justifiable.
Right, sounds like a yes. Let's get back to the callers. They're dying to talk to you.
All right.
Hey, Nikki in Turnersville for Gary Francione on the Big Talker 1210. Hi.
Hi. Well, initially I was going to make a different point, but since someone else touched upon the religious aspect of things, I don't know where in Genesis it says anything about herbs, although I do know where it says about all the animals being put on the earth for us to consume. So if you're an admitted non-religious person, I would assume that you probably have, beliefs in evolution. So let me ask you this, Professor. Why do we have molars in the back of our mouth? Is it to chew tofu?
Well,
Or is it to chew meat?
Okay, let me say, first of all, we certainly can't rip flesh from bones. I mean, our teeth aren't equipped to do that. Whatever it is we've evolved, I mean, we're obviously omnivores. We can eat meat, but we have attributes. For example, we have very long colons, and most animals, most carnivores, for example, have very short colons, and there's a clear connection between eating animal products and colon cancer. And the connection between eating animal products and various diseases, hypertension, diabetes, all sorts of cancer, is not not controversial.
Sure.
But Nikki, let me also say, the herb and the seed, if you read the first chapter of Genesis, it's the herb and the seed. It's only after the breach of the covenant that killing of animals, when humankind is driven from the Garden of Eden, that humankind begins to kill and to eat animals. There is no killing. But
well, as I said, that wasn't my initial point.
All right, Nikki, I'm with apologies. Everybody wants to talk to Gary, and I got to get to other folks. Hey, by the way, speaking of herb, do you have any problem with Greg smoking some?
No. Go ahead, Greg.
All right.
Go ahead. Enjoy yourself, Greg.
Patrick, on a cell in the Big Talker, 1210 High.
Yeah, Michael, what's going on?
Hey.
I just want to admit, too, like my man said, it is true. Humans are the only ones that do hunt for fun. That I kind of agree with that. But like you said, as far as religious aspect, it was kind of in the covenant to kill sheep. You know, God required that. It wasn't just something that was thought up. It's made up out of nowhere. Actually, God provided sheep to be killed.
Well, let me ask you, what's your name? I'm sorry.
Patrick.
Patrick.
Again, if you want to go on in the New Testament, God told Peter that because he was bringing Saul into ministry, he said, you know, because he ate things that was that the Hebrews consider unclean. God said, let no man call what I call clean unclean. That's just religious aspect. But like I said, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Humans are the only one that do hunt for fun.
I mean,
if you want to call an animal a person, then you need to tell that lion not to eat a person. If you can rationalize that lion, say, hey, look, if you're hungry, you can't eat this person, then I'm with you.
All right, but okay. quick response to Patrick because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, okay, when I say persons, I don't mean human persons. I mean they are moral beings. They are beings that are entitled to equal consideration, number one. Number two, the problem with using the Bible to justify anything is you can find justification in the Bible for just about everything, including slavery, there's all sorts of horrible things in the Bible that are justified and that God approves of.
This is great. We've offended the meat eaters. Now let's move on to the Jews and Christians.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
Can you leave me an audience?
Can you at least leave me the communists when the show is over?
You need some controversy
Listen,
on this show.
Speaking of controversy, Matt, Vinny, Thomas, Kevin, and somebody else who just dropped off. I'd be derelict in my duty if I didn't raise this. All want to know the same thing.
What's that?
You must be a pro-life guy if this is your viewpoint.
Well, you know, how much time do I have to address that? Because I've actually written
60 seconds.
60 seconds. Abortion raises a very interesting question because even if the fetus is sentient and even if the fetus, you know, even if you assume the fetus is a person with rights, you've got a very peculiar situation of one right holder living in the body of another right holder. And you've got a conflict between those two right holders. And the question is, who determines or who resolves that conflict? The woman in whose body the subservient right holder exists, or some, you know, white male judge or legislator who's never going to get pregnant?
Well, wait a minute. I think you got a major inconsistency here now, because if you're willing to assume that one's rights are subservient to another,
then
why aren't the rights of the cow subservient to mine?
Because we bring the cow. The cow's a separate being. We're bringing the cow into existence for the sole purpose of exploiting that animal. The fetus is living. First of all, we don't even know where the fetuses are sentient, particularly in the first trimester.
I'm not a pro-life guy, but
I got to take their bait on this.
But a woman has brought that fetus into the world in the same way that you're just saying we brought the cow into the world.
A woman has brought that. I think that that's more complicated than you're characterizing it. I think that raises a conflict situation which is unique. And number one, number two, most abortions occur in the first trimester anyway, and there's very little evidence. As a matter of fact, I don't know of any real evidence to suggest that fetus is sentient when most
terminations. Oh, come on. You're willing to argue that a brook trout can feel that hook, but that a fetus can't?
In the first trimester, Michael? Michael, answer that question. In the first trimester.
It's not your classroom anymore. Hey, you're coming back.
All right.
I get a kick out of being with you, and obviously so does everybody else, even if they disagree.
www.abolitionistapproach.com is my website.
Abolitionistapproach.com. I can't wait to see what you got posted there.
Oh, I've got all sorts of stuff you disagree with.
Hey, Gary, it's good to see you.
Thanks, Michael.
Gary Francione.
Ma'am, what are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing? I'm out on a ledge 20 stories up. I'm not exactly a building inspector.
Ma'am, I'm new at this. This is my first day on the force.
Don't come a step closer or I'll jump,
Don't jump. Think of all you have to live for.
Like what?
Your husband.
Divorce.
Your kid.
Estranged.
Your job.
Fire.
Your house.
Foreclosed.
I don't know, ma'am. How about your car?
My car sense car?
Yeah. Aren't they the ones with the lifetime engine guarantee?
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty great thing. You wouldn't want to lose that, would you?
No, I guess.
CarSense lifetime engine guarantee. CarSense not only has the best warranty right from the start, we're way better in the long run, too.
Oh, you're going to live to be 100, ma'am. Just think what CarSense will say when you bring that car back 50 years from now.
Are you saying I'm 50?
55 years from now.
I'm not 45 either.
60? 65?
Maybe I ought to jump.
The lifetime engine guarantee from CarSense. One less thing in life to negotiate. Route 100 Euclid, Route 309 Hatfield, or on the web at carsense.com.